from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Joining us now, a guy that's never hurt, and even when he is hurt, he plays hurt because he's tough. He gets through it. Eric Name of The Athletic covers the Milwaukee Bucks. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Name. Hello, Eric. Thanks for coming on, buddy.
What's up, Spark? How you doing?
I'm doing good. Hanging in there. Looking forward to the draft tonight. So I guess first things first, you're more connected to this thing than obviously I am nowadays. So you tell me. I mean, I think the obvious selection everybody thinks is going to happen is going to come at that center position in that first round. Do you feel the same way?
I don't know if they would go center. Unless there's a move that, you know, happens before that. If you look at their big rotation right now, you have all 48 minutes covered with Brooke, with Giannis, with Bobby. If those guys stay healthy, and we've seen it happen, you know, a couple times throughout the last, you know, four seasons, you have all the minutes covered. You don't have to worry about anything. You have everything there. And I think to me that makes it a little bit more difficult. I know, you know, there's some thought to, it's the last year of Brook Lopez's contract. You got to figure out, you know, what happens after Brook. But to me, that doesn't necessarily feel like the biggest concern at this moment. I think the Bucks still need to figure out what they're going to do on the wing. They got to find more players in that spot. They got to find more players, you know, really, if you look at it, they have a starting shooting guard spot open right now, and that might get filled in free agency, that might get filled in the draft. But I think to me, there's more pressing concerns than bigs. That's not to say that they're not willing to take a big. I think there's some interesting bigs that could fall to them. I know Ware is a guy that a lot of Bucks fans really
like.
That's
who I like. Yes.
So that's something that could happen in this draft. He could fall to 23. Maybe another team falls in love with him and takes him before 23. So I think, and I know when I broke down the draft with our guy Sam Vecenie last week, one of the things that he said was like, I don't know if the Bucks have a deep enough roster for you to really say, well, they can't take that. I think they could take just about anything. Could you suggest to me that they could take a big and it could work? Yeah. To me personally, I think you should always be drafting wings and be thinking about what you're doing on the wing, because that's what the NBA is made of. In this modern era, you can never have enough guys between 2 and 4 on the roster. 2s, 3s, 4s, those are the guys you want, especially those 3s. That's what you're looking at when you're looking at the Boston Celtics, when you're looking at all these teams around the league. Like, you got to have wings, and it's something that the Bucks haven't had over the last couple of years. And to me, that's always what I would push for if I'm in charge. And I think we'll see what happens tonight. But I do think there are more pressing concerns than bigs right now on that Bucks roster.
Livingston, Beauchamp, Jackson, A.J. Green. I mean, these are all dudes that they currently have that we've been throwing darts at a wall trying to make sure and see if they work. And now we're sitting here at this draft going, well, we got to draft another one. I mean, for me, this draft isn't about this year. That's not how I view this draft. Because they don't have a lot of ones, obviously, as we all know. And they don't have a lot of twos because they trade a lot of those as well. So the deal is, we got to get younger, A, right? That's what we've talked about. B, the other part of this deal is who's going to play with Giannis? Middleton's not getting any younger. Lillard's not getting any younger. And Brook Lopez isn't getting any younger. So for me, it's, literally, I mean, to a certain degree, it's kind of best available of guys that can come in and eventually be scorers that can play with Giannis kind of going forward here. This whole, oh, I want a 3-and-D guard. Well, I mean, that's fine. But if Shannon is there and he's a scorer that also plays defense from Illinois, I'm sorry, it's going to be hard for me to say no to that looking ahead as far as how he can play with Giannis moving forward. I'm more about looking into the next 2-3 years here past Middleton and Lillard and Brooke Lopez as far as how you're going to surround Giannis more than I am worrying about now in the present.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty fair way to go about this, right? Like, if you're looking at the roster that's currently constructed, and I guess their assets as currently constructed, right? You have to think about the picks that they have going forward. They don't have another pick until the 2026 first round. And that's a pick that is tied up in a pick swap. Their 2028 first rounder tied up in a pick swap. 2030 first rounder tied up in a pick swap. 2031, that's available and good to go. And then their 2031 second round pick, that's theirs, good to go. That's not a lot of picks. And if you're talking about how you get younger and you're talking about the current NBA CBA and trying to find young, valuable assets, this would be one of their last chances to do it. And I think when you're looking at the draft, I know there's a lot of Bucks fans out there that would love to see, you know, a trade tonight for, one of those picks and one of their veteran guys and see if you can get an upgrade for next season and really maximize next season. And I can understand that, sure. But then, you know, again, you're short on picks, and as you try to build in this modern CBA, I think it gets a little bit tougher. You know, like AJ Johnson's a guy that Sam Vecenie has mocked to the Bucks for a week now at 33. If you're talking about those swings and you're talking about, you know, guys that could be there down the road, like that's the type of guy that you're kind of thinking about. And you just have to try to figure all of this out. And I think one thing that has gone overlooked, and I put it in my most recent mailbag at The Athletic, is the four-man combo of Lillard, Middleton, Adetokounmpo, and Lopez was the best high-usage lineup in the league last year.
They just never played together.
They played 1,500 possessions together. That's more than a lot of people. But at the end of the year, they weren't together at the end. And if you're the Bucks, I know Bucks fans don't want to hear it because they've gotten knocked out in the first round the last 2 years. I understand it. But that can still be very good. And the things that you have a big problem with during the playoffs, believe it or not, they might look a little bit different if you have the best player on the planet on the floor.
Thank you.
They might look a little bit different. So, again, I understand there's a lot of people out there that this time of year it's moves. There's got to be a swing. You got to do something. You got to make some changes. And I do think that there's at least some argument to be made that maybe don't make a ton of changes. Maybe bring back those guys that you know are good. Keep yourself in a good spot there and think about the future a little bit with these picks. So again, it'll be an interesting night. It's going to be an interesting 7-8 hours here, whatever we got left. But yeah. I do think there's a possibility that, one, you don't end up finding a good trade partner. You don't just make a trade to make a trade. You want to get actual value in there, and maybe it ends up where they just end up using 23, and then they listen to all the deals over the night and in the morning, and then maybe they make 33 again tomorrow. And then all of a sudden you have those young players that you're hoping can hit moving forward.
Okay, so I had a crazy dream yesterday on the air that I was talking about, because there was talk, and now that talk has changed since yesterday, but there was talk that Lakers may be looking to move 17. But in a crazy kind of scenario, it would be wild if
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If the Bucks, and again, I don't know how this works or whatever else, would be able to get another first round pick to go with what they already have, where you're able to get a center, you're able to get Shannon, and then you're able to get that point guard maybe there in the second round and come out of this with three guys that could be essential pieces maybe going forward. And I know nobody likes this draft and they don't think there's a lot of great players, but nobody was on the Giannis train either when he came out, as everybody is pointing out either. I will say this. The one name that I've seen on ESPN, Giovanni and his cats, your guy, over at The Athletic, you both have them taking the same player. Now, that could be coincidence, or maybe people know something. Kyle Filipowski from Duke, not a fan. I'll be honest, not a fan. And not a fan mainly because defensively, yeah, he moves his feet. That's great. But he's definitely not a rim protector by any stretch of the imagination. That's concerning to me because they need a rim protector eventually at some point. Offensively, yeah, he's a great passer. Okay. Shooting, is it real? I don't know. Do you like him?
I think at that spot, it feels like pretty good value at 23. And I think that's the tough part of this draft, is that this is one of the, because of, you know, the lack of high-level talent at the top level of this draft. You know, I heard John Hollinger say, like, this is like if, you know, we started the draft at six. That's what this looks like most years. I think it's so wide open that there could just be a bunch of teams that decide, we're going to take who we like and so be it. If that's not the same as other people around the league feel, if that's not, you know, what the mock drafts say, if that's not what people's big boards say, whatever, who cares? This is the guy that we like, so we're going to take him. And that to me is why tonight could end up getting interesting, because I think there's some players that, you know, maybe in the mock drafts around the world, you know, have been lottery picks, all of a sudden end up at 23 for the Bucks. So I think that possibility to trade in there gets interesting. I think when you look at Filipowski, I think you like his production. I think you like his shooting touch. I think you like his size. Like, that dude is legitimately big and can move. I know I saw, and again, I don't necessarily love comparing white guys to white guys, but I saw Kelly Olynyk kind of, comp for him. And again, there's plenty of people out there that don't love Kelly Olynyk. Dude's been an NBA player for a long time, yeah. And an effective NBA player for a long time. And if you're getting that type of player at 23, and again, that's a high-level outcome. But you have to remember, once you get to 20 in the draft, you're looking at a 25% chance that this guy hits.
Right.
But if you're looking at a Kelly Olynyk at 23, and that's what Kyle Filipowski ends up being, that would be a win. So, I don't know. It'll be really interesting, because I just think this thing is so wide open. And that's just kind of the consensus you get from people around the league at this point.
All right, I have one last one for you, Eric Name. In past experience, watching him, I never came across with the idea that he was somebody that was a guy that coached up talent and made young guys good, or younger guys from good to great, or whatever. And Doc Rivers is the coach of this Milwaukee Bucks team still. So how do we feel putting in his hands the idea of, hey, you've got to develop these young guys and play these young guys? Because we saw when he got here last year, that was not going to be a thing. And if it's not going to be a thing again, are we just kind of spinning our wheels right now talking about draft picks this year?
I mean, so I wrote a story about this kind of exact idea last week at The Athletic. In his 23-year career, Doc Rivers has had 39 rookies.
Oh, I read it. Team. Yep. I go ahead. Say it though. Go ahead.
22 were selected in the first round. Yep. 9 of those players played at least 1,000 minutes as a rookie. 13 of them appeared in at least 50 games. Mm-hmm. So that is not, you know, overwhelming evidence that Doc Rivers is absolutely going to play a rookie. I would also argue that it is evidence in the contrary to the belief that Doc Rivers won't play rookies.
I'm not talking about playing them, though, Eric. I'm talking about developing them, getting them better from year one to year two, getting them better from year two to year three, developing them. You know, Darvin Ham is credited with being a great guy that develops young players and gets them better over the course of time. Fair or unfair, that's what everybody has said about Darvin Ham forever. But I've never heard anybody really say that about Doc.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's kind of a chicken and egg thing, right? Where the ones that do work out, I think people will say, well, how much did Doc Rivers really have to do with it? That guy was really good, right? Like, if I say Rajon Rondo, you're going to be like, well, Rondo was so talented that what did Doc Rivers really have to do with it? Or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, what did Doc really have to do with that? Well, I don't know if you can have your cake and eat it too. Either he can't do it or he can, or maybe the truth is somewhere in the middle. And I think that'll be the interesting thing. I think the biggest thing for any organization is that your coach and your GM have to be on the same page. And as you're going into this offseason, you have to be thinking about these things the same way. It cannot be, you know, you go back to Mike Budenholzer and John Horst, right? They drafted Dante DiVincenzo at 17, and that year, Mike Budenholzer was more than willing to play Dante DiVincenzo. And when he came back from his injury in the second year, he did the same thing. And by the time Dante got hurt in that playoff run, he was, you know, shooting 38% from the three-point line, doing all those things. And that might be because Dante has God-given talent. He's had success over all these years, all these coaches throughout the league. So maybe that's only Dante. But Bud is not given credit for being able to develop young players, and I would argue that Dante has reached his upper-level outcomes. And you have to me, it's about opportunity. It always will be for young players. So you have to be on the same page that whatever young players you are trying to develop this season, they're going to get minutes and they're going to get opportunities. And we'll see. I agree with you that there is, you know, certainly some question about whether or not Doc Rivers can do that. But I would also say that there are at least some players out there that would say Doc Rivers did a great job of that for me. And that to me is really what it's all about. It's okay. Well, are you going to have, if you're John Horst, 10 players that are all veterans that can get played above these guys and Doc doesn't need to play these rookies? Or are you going to make it clear to them, hey, these young guys need to play. We got to figure this out. And to me, that's always going to be the biggest thing with rookies and young players in any organization.
I lied, Eric Nam. I have one more. Darvin Ham, was he brought back because they know he develops talent and they want to go younger and they need somebody to work with these guys kind of going forward, and that's why he was brought back with Doc? Because for me, again, outside looking in, Jeff Van Gundy was sitting there and he if the Bucks, and again, I don't know how this works or whatever else, would be able to get another first round pick to go with what they already have, where you're able to get a center, you're able to get Shannon, and then you're able to get that point guard maybe there in the second round and come out of this with three guys that could be essential pieces maybe going forward. And I know nobody likes this draft and they don't think there's a lot of great players, but nobody was on the Giannis train either when he came out, as everybody is pointing out either. I will say this. The one name that I've seen on ESPN, Giovanni and his cats, your guy, over at The Athletic, you both have them taking the same player. Now, that could be coincidence, or maybe people know something. Kyle Filipowski from Duke, not a fan. I'll be honest, not a fan. And not a fan mainly because defensively, yeah, he moves his feet. That's great. But he's definitely not a rim protector by any stretch of the imagination. That's concerning to me because they need a rim protector eventually at some point. Offensively, yeah, he's a great passer. Okay. Shooting, is it real? I don't know. Do you like him?
I think at that spot, it feels like pretty good value at 23. And I think that's that's the tough part of this draft, is that this is one of the, because of, you know, the lack of high level talent at the top level of this draft. You know, I heard John Hollinger say, like, this is like if, you know, we started the draft at six. That's what this looks like most years. I think it's so wide open that there could just be a bunch of teams that decide, we're going to take who we like, and so be it. If that's not the same as other people around the league feel, if that's not, you know, what the mock drafts say, if that's not what people's big boards say, whatever, who cares? This is the guy that we like, so we're going to take him. And that, to me, is why tonight could end up getting interesting, because I think there's some players that, you know, maybe in the mock drafts around the world, you know, have been lottery picks, all of a sudden end up at 23 for the Bucks. So I think that possibility to trade in there gets interesting. I think when you look at Filipowski, I think you like his production. I think you like his shooting touch. I think you like his size. Like, that dude is legitimately big and can move. I know I saw, and again, I don't necessarily love comparing white guys to white guys, but I saw Kelly Olynyk kind of, comp for him. And again, there's plenty of people out there that don't love Kelly Olynyk. Dude's been an NBA player for a long time, been an effective NBA player for a long time. And if you're getting that type of player at 23, and again, that's a high level outcome. But you have to remember, once you get to 20 in the draft, you're looking at a 25% chance that this guy hits.
Right.
But if you're looking at a Kelly Olynyk at 23, and that's what Kyle Filipowski ends up being, that would be a win. So I don't know. It'll be really interesting, because I just think this thing is so wide open. And that's just kind of the consensus you get from people around the league at this point.
All right. I have one last one for you, Eric Name. In past experience watching him, I never came across with the idea that he was somebody that was a guy that coached up talent and made young guys good, or younger guys from good to great, or whatever. And Doc Rivers is the coach of this Milwaukee Bucks team still. So how do we feel putting in his hands the idea of, hey, you've got to develop these young guys and play these young guys? Because we saw when he got here last year, that was not going to be a thing. And if it's not going to be a thing again, are we just kind of spinning our wheels right now talking about draft picks this year?
I mean, so I wrote a story about this kind of exact idea last week at The Athletic. In his 23-year career, Doc Rivers has had 39 rookies.
Oh, I read it. Team. Yep. Go ahead. Say it, though. Go ahead.
22 were selected in the first round. Yep. 9 of those players played at least 1,000 minutes as a rookie. 13 of them appeared in at least 50 games. Mm-hmm. So that is not, you know, overwhelming evidence that Doc Rivers is absolutely going to play a rookie. I would also argue that it is evidence in the contrary to the belief that Doc Rivers won't play rookies.
I'm not talking about playing them, though, Eric. I'm talking about developing them, getting them better from year one to year two, getting them better from year two to year three, developing them. You know, Darvin Ham is credited with being a great guy that develops young players and gets them better over the course of time. Fair or unfair, that's what everybody has said about Darvin Ham forever. But I've never heard anybody really say that about Doc.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's kind of a chicken and egg thing, right? Where the ones that do work out, I think people will say, well, how much did Doc Rivers really have to do with it? That guy was really good, right? Like, if I say Rajon Rondo, you're going to be like, well, Rondo was so talented that what did Doc Rivers really have to do with it? Or Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, what did Doc really have to do with that? Well, I don't know if you can have your cake and eat it too. Either he can't do it or he can, or maybe the truth is somewhere in the middle. And I think that'll be the interesting thing. I think the biggest thing for any organization is that your coach and your GM have to be on the same page. And as you're going into this offseason, you have to be thinking about these things the same way. It cannot be, you know, you go back to Mike Budenholzer and John Horst, right? They drafted Dante DiVincenzo at 17, and that year, Mike Budenholzer was more than willing to play Dante DiVincenzo. And when he came back from his injury in the second year, he did the same thing. And by the time Dante got hurt in that playoff run, he was, you know, shooting 38% from the three-point line, doing all those things. And that might be because Dante has God-given talent. He's had success over all these years, all these coaches throughout the league. So maybe that's only Dante. But Bud is not given credit for being able to develop young players, and I would argue that Dante has reached his upper-level outcomes. And you have to me, it's about opportunity. It always will be for young players. So you have to be on the same page that whatever young players you are trying to develop this season, they're going to get minutes and they're going to get opportunities. And we'll see. I agree with you that there is, you know, certainly some question about whether or not Doc Rivers can do that. But I would also say that there are at least some players out there that would say Doc Rivers did a great job of that. For me, and that to me is really what it's all about. It's okay. Well, are you going to have, if you're John Horst, 10 players that are all veterans that can get played above these guys, and Doc doesn't need to play these rookies, or are you going to make it clear to them, hey, these young guys need to play. We got to figure this out. And to me, that's always going to be the biggest thing with rookies and young players in any organization.
I lied, Eric Name. I have one more. Darvin Ham, was he brought back because they know he develops talent and they want to go younger and they need somebody to work with these guys kind of going forward? And that's why he was brought back with Doc. Because for me, again, outside looking in, Jeff Van Gundy was sitting there and he took a job after Darvin Ham took the job with Milwaukee. I much rather would have preferred Van Gundy myself. Again, he's been out of the game for a while. I get it, doing TV and all that. But I guess I'm trying to understand why Doc went with Ham over, say, Van Gundy.
I think when you look at Darvin, you have the added advantage of every guy that's in that locker room, that was in that locker room 3 years ago, loves him. Every player on the roster, like any of those guys that are still around, all love Darvin Ham. I think that plays a significant role in it. You know, those guys have always fought for him, have always, you know, cheered for him when he is the coach of the Lakers. Like, those relationships stick around. I think that helps out a lot. I think Darvin has shown an ability to be hands-on in player development and really work with guys and help them get better. And then I don't want to say has skin in the game more than Jeff Van Gundy, but he's been in it more. He hasn't been away from the game. He was a head coach last year. And to me, that makes him, you know, one of the very near top, the top level assistants in the entire league. So I would say all of those things kind of play into bringing Darvin Ham back.
Love me some Eric Name. Always have, always will. Eric_Name on Twitter. He is killing it doing his thing over there at The Athletic as we get ready for the draft. Day one tonight, round one tonight. Coverage there starts at 7 o'clock. Eric, thank you so much, man, and enjoy the draft the next couple of days.
Absolutely. It should be fun. Thanks for having me.
You betcha. Take care. There he is. Eric Name of The Athletic. Love having Eric on the show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.